Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I'm Adam Kimmelman, here as always with Mike Morial. And Mike, we're ready to go. The NHL Scouting Combine is coming June 4th to the 10th in Buffalo. It's a big time. We get to see all the players, all the scouts. We're going to get a lot of information on what's going to happen in the 23 draft in Nashville.
It's going to be a lot of fun, Adam. Got to pack the suitcase, some golf shirts, a couple pair of pants, some business casual attire. Hey, maybe a few extra bucks to feed Bender. We got to feed Bender. We got to feed him.
That's what the Tim Hortons is for. He'll be good with the Tim Hortons.
He will. We all will be good with the Tim Hortons.
Well, that's very true.
Yes,
but the combine will bring in more than 100 of the top 2023 NHL draft picks on hand for interviews and testing with all 32 NHL teams. I think it's really simple to say it's the biggest week of the scouting calendar. This is where I hesitate to call it closing, final exams for teams. But it really is the last chance you're going to have to really, in that big setting, have your time and get to know who these kids are and what these kids are about.
Yep. Teams will have one-on-one interviews with prospects at KeyBank Center from Monday through Thursday. The medical exams will take place on Wednesday. And 7 of the 11 fitness tests will take place at Harbor Center on Saturday, including that Wingate cycle test. So that's always something that the media that's there, they always start the video recorders and seeing who can finish and who does well. So Central Scouting does it right here. They've loved Buffalo. Buffalo has been a great host to the Combine. So we have a great guest today, Adam, too. David Gregory, director of NHL Central Scouting, will join us, discuss the Combine and also some of those top prospects from the Ontario Hockey League.
Well, we're still working on. I'm going to talk to David about getting you on one of those bikes at some point, Mike, but that'll be for a later discussion. But let's bring in David. David Gregory from NHL Central Scouting. Thank you for joining us today on NHL Draft Class.
Appreciate it, guys. Always enjoy spending some time with you with this. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you on again, David. So let's start at the top with the NHL Scouting Combine. How many players do you anticipate taking part in this year's event? And can you maybe explain to the fans how it's kind of evolved over the years to where it is today?
Sure. We had 106 players invited to this year's combine, 7 of those goalies, the rest skaters, and everybody has accepted. So that'll be the number of participants. And, since we've moved to Buffalo, we've developed a good process, and it's just turned into quite a spectacular event. It's really well run. It's got everything is done tip top, and it's turned into quite a meaningful thing for the players. They all talk about it when you see these players years after that they remember their time at the combine. But it's turned into, an interview process that's always been there. But the testing and the protocols for the testing have turned out to be quite a professional process. So it's a great event for the players.
David, you've been through this more than a few times, but at the end of every combine, there's a debriefing that goes on among you folks at Central Scouting and with the teams on what worked or maybe didn't work at the combine each year. So there's always tweaks or changes, some minor, some maybe a little bit bigger. So I'm curious, from last year to this year, is there anything that's been changed to any facet of the combine that we should look for?
One of the things we've tried to do is keep the protocol, especially with the testing, consistent. You want the data to be able to be compared year after year. So the testing process is going to be pretty similar or almost exactly as what it's been in the past. But one of the exciting changes that we've adapted this year is on the technology side. And this has evolved over the years and keeps getting better. It used to be headed up by Jack Guerin and now Carol Dan in our IT department. And we now are developing a way to get the data from all the testing and everything that the players go through to the teams in a much more efficient and quicker fashion. So they're working on processes that do that, and if you guys are like me, I don't know how they do it, but it gets better every year with the way that technology works. And one of the exciting things is that they've developed an app for the players to register for the combine. So in the past, they would come in and they would meet us, which they'll still do. And we'll make sure that everything is correct for them, get them checked into their rooms and get them set up with the gear they need. But they also now are going to be signing in with an app. So they'll know coming into the combine exactly what their schedule is, what their room is, and all their profile will be updated by them. So we'll be able to contact these players. And, you know, in the past, you got hundreds of young men running around trying to get to interviews, trying to get to testing, medicals, and there's always somebody that's not in the right place at the right time. But with this app, we'll be able to contact players. They'll be able to know where they're going to go. And it's just great to see technology, you know, being implemented to make it a better process and a better experience for the players. You know, and these young men this year will never know that the kids that came years before them never had this. One of these experiences that, you know, in years go by and you meet players again down the road, they always talk about how great an experience the combine was for them. So this one will be another unique experience and a great one for these young players.
Having the app is going to be great for these kids that come over and maybe don't know where to go, as you said, David. So that's a great job by the IT department there to have that incorporated this season.
We always have a kid that's not in the right place at the right time, and we, you know, we send out a troop to go find them. Now it's going to be much easier for all of us. So it's going to be a really, really nice addition.
I'll tell you what, David, I wish I had an app for Adam Kittleman so I could, you know, shoot him something, tell him where to be, because he's never in the right place at the right time. Never.
Well, that's because some of us actually have to work for a living, Mike. We don't just get to sit around and write. Some of us actually have to manage.
Touche. So, Dave, what do you feel is the most important aspect of the combine for these players?
Well, you know, obviously the testing is so highly publicized, and that's what, you know, that gauntlet that they go through on the final day is one of the things that people remember and talk about. But for me, it's always been the interviews with the teams. The process of scouting a player during the course of a season, obviously, when we go to games, there's that removal of all you're doing is watching and evaluating how someone performs on the ice. And, you know, these are young men that are still developing as people as well as players. And the process of getting to meet someone face to face and have a chance to talk to them and ask them about what they want to be, I think is a big part of evaluating a player. Now, at Central Scouting, we don't have to worry about that. We're not drafting players or choosing them or adding them to a team, but the teams are. And you also have the GMs there, guys that didn't get to scout these players very much. They're finding out how they are about as people and how they would fit into the culture of their team. And will they compete the way they want to? Will they fit into what they're trying to build? So that's really going to determine where they're going to be selected and who's going to pick who, especially after you get through that top half of the first round. That development and that understanding of who that person is and how they'll fit into the team that you're building is vital. And I think down the road, these players will understand that interview, in a sense, changed their lives.
Yeah, great stuff on the combine there. Switching gears a little bit here, David, we wanted to touch base with you on several of the Ontario Hockey League players. So the three OHL players on Central Scouting's final list of North American skaters are forwards, and they're actually one after the other. Left wing Colby Barlow of Owen Sound is number 12. Center Cal Ritchie of Oshawa is number 13, and left wing Quentin Musty of Sudbury is 14. So why is Barlow ahead of Ritchie and Musty, and what skill set maybe sets each apart from the other?
Well, they're obviously right there in a row, as you said, and you know, that tells you that we thought very highly of all of them. You know, I think Colby Barlow has that knack that the way this kid can score goals and gets himself in a position to score. Obviously you need to score to win, and goals get harder and harder as the season progresses. And as you see, as you know, in the Stanley Cup finals coming up here and through the playoffs, like goals are what are such a premium. Players that can score are so needed. I think we put Barlow ahead just because of that he consistently has done that. He's done it in every environment that he's been in, and he's got better at it year after year. But you look at Ritchie and Musty, those two players also bring so much to the game. You know, when Ritchie was out of the lineup with his team in Oshawa, they couldn't win a game. He comes back in and they start winning again. He's a player that is, you know, a leader, someone who competes hard and someone who makes players around him better, use that old cliche, but you know, if you got someone like him, you can feed the puck, or if you're getting to a spot that's open, he's going to find you with the puck. And, you know, that makes him special and someone that is, you know, obviously going to be a very high pick. And if you look at Quentin Musty, he's a player that, you know, has all the tools. He thinks the game so well, is very creative with the puck. And, you know, when he's on his game, he's a game breaker. He could easily be the best player in the game every time he suits it up. So three very good players that, again, teams are going to look for what their needs are at some point. You know, some teams draft the best player available, especially in the first round. Some teams say, hey, we need this kind of player at this point. So there may be a different order that these players go, but they're very close in our rankings because they all bring a skill set that makes them, you know, worthy of a first round pick.
David, I know we've spent a lot of time talking about all the top end fours, but I want to ask you about some of the defensemen. And I know it's a little bit maybe softer on top flight defensemen, but there's three from the OHL in the Central Scouting top 32. Oliver Bonk from London at number 20, Andrew Gibson from Sault Ste. Marie at number 31, Tristan Bertucci of Flint number 32. I'm curious, in your mind, what sets Bonk apart among the top D in the Ontario League? And what also stands out about Gibson and Bertucci that sort of earned them potential first round pick status?
Yeah, those are three very good players, obviously, based on how we look at them as a staff and where we've ranked them. But with Bonk, he was the complete package for us. And the progression of his development over the course of the season was very good. He plays both ends of the rink very, very well, and really processes the game at a high level. So it gives us confidence that this is a player that's going to be able to do that as the game gets quicker and the competition gets better as you move up into the pro game. So obviously comes from a great pedigree and knows the game probably inside and out from when he was a young man to now. And he's just that sort of complete package, and his offensive instinct and the way he can produce points keeps getting better. So I think that sort of dragged him to the front of that defenseman list for us as a group. So that's why he's there for me. And you know, the other two guys, you look at Gibson and he's really a unique player. First year in the OHL, coming out of, you know, what some call tier two junior last year, and being able to step up and compete and contribute and be a force out there was very impressive for a first year player. He suffered some injury problems this year and didn't get as much games as we would have liked to seen. And I think his game would have even developed more, but we're projecting what we've seen with this player. Like, he's jumped into this process and into the OHL and continued to get better. And in my history over the years, when you see someone who progresses and gets better through the season, it's a nice indicator to say, okay, this projection is going to continue. There's going to be more that you can get out of this player. If he had been the last 2 years in the OHL, who knows where this could have ended up. And then you saw what he did playing in the World Junior or the U18s at the end of the year. This is a player that has such a high potential. It'll be interesting to see where he goes. This is the kind of player you'd say someone may take a jump at this guy earlier than others expect. So it's going to be real fun to see what happens with him. And Bertucci is, again, another player that made a huge jump from last year to this year. He's got that confidence. He finally found out, hey, this is how I can contribute. And I know I can take over games. I know I can be the one that's dictating pace. I'm the one that's dictating how this game is going to go. I'm better than the other players on the ice with me. And that's something that I think is very attractive for teams to say, hey, this is a player I want for me. And I think he's going to be a really, really good pro.
Yeah, Bonk and Gibson also right-handed D-men. So a lot of times we know that teams are looking for those players at the right point. So,
Mike, you're out scouting me here, Mike.
Yeah, oh my gosh. See that? I'm learning.
D.
I learned from the best.
Yep.
So yeah, that could be something that you know, down the line, if teams are looking for that, there you go. But we always like sleepers, Dave. Are there maybe two or three OHL players we didn't discuss who you feel, you know, might make a good mid to late round selection, become a solid pro in 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, I think there is a couple, and you know, it's you know, Mike, you attend our meetings, and you know, when we sit down and put our list together, you know, taking advantage of the fact that, you know, we've seen some games even after our list has gone out. I think Terrence is a player that, you know, is turned into someone that has really improved his stock even since our list has come out. Obviously, it's a rare occurrence where someone joins the U.S. National Programs team from outside the program to be in what is their most important tournament at the U18 Worlds. And he jumped in there and was added to that team and was a contributing factor, a player that is an amazing skater, plays at a pace that is already NHL ready. And I think what has happened is that the rest of his game has caught up to the fact that the way he can skate and dominate with playing at pace and makes him a real force. And I think that's sort of a sleeper that it could be interesting to see where he goes as well. So other than Carey Terrence, the next guy for me would be Nick Lardis. This is another player that's a tremendous skater and always noticeable in the game for that he can play at pace. And he started the year in Peterborough, and he wasn't having the kind of year that maybe we thought he was going to have. And at the trade deadline got moved to Hamilton, and then the player that we sort of expected he would be started to, you know, showed up, and he had a tremendous, you know, point and a half a game with Hamilton, dominated it, played in every situation, you know, moved up tremendously from our midterm list. He was deep into the third, or at, even outside of the third round, all the way up into our first round at by final ranking. So it gave us confidence to say, okay, here's the player that we thought we were going to get from when he was an underage player and knew that he was going to be someone we had to track to. Now we have a player that's clearly worthy of in our ranking, you know, someone who's ranked 27 on the North America list, we're saying is a candidate for the first round and potentially a high second round pick. So I think Nick Lardis is one of those sleepers where someone might get a good player at a very nice spot.
Great couple players there, Dave. So, you know, Adam and I know you wear several scouting caps and travel to several regions throughout the course of a season. So to close this out, we just want to ask you about the two top players on Central's final list of North American skaters. University of Michigan center Adam Fantilli had about as productive and successful a draft season as any player I can remember. You know, how special is this, I guess, quote, consolation prize going to be for the team that selects him in the first round on June 28th in Nashville?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. You'd love this consolation prize. There's no question about that. You know, we've known about Adam for quite a long time. He sort of bust onto the scene. He was playing with his brother in prep school at Kimball Union Academy in the Northeast U.S. As a 14 and 15 year old, and was probably the best player in prep school hockey. And you just saw what he did with Chicago Steel. Like, this is a player that every year, the thing that he needed to be better at, he got better at. It really reminds me of like some of the great pros. Like, you think of Sidney Crosby, like somebody mentions, oh, he doesn't win a lot of faceoffs. The next year he's the best faceoff player. Then they mention, well, he doesn't score goals. Well, then the next year he scores over 50. So Adam is one of these competitive players that has all the tools, that always gets better in areas he needs to improve, which is very few at this point. And just a very special player. And obviously to lead, and I believe it was that he led all of college hockey in scoring as a freshman, you know, more than 2 points a game, deep into the season, he's still doing this. And then he plays it everywhere he goes. He's a factor. He can play with, you know, as he proved, you know, in the IIHF worlds, he can play with already grown men and pros. This is a guy that is really, really special. And unless there's that other player we're going to talk about in a minute, you know, he could easily be number one overall pick in several years in different drafts. There's no question about it.
Yeah, not a bad age 18 season for Adam Fantilli. A world junior gold, a world championship gold, the Hobie Baker Award. Nice season for him. But as you mentioned, yes, there is one other guy that some people have heard of for this draft. The one guy who's probably going to be drafted before Adam Fantilli, Connor Bedard. Number one player on your ranking at Central Scout, and the expected number one pick of the draft. You've gone through this process more than a few times. You've seen a lot of top prospects over the years come through. What is it about Bedard from when you've watched him that has led to, I don't know, it feels like a level of hype we've never seen before. And I'm curious where you would rank him, not just because we know where he is among guys in his age group, but where would you rank him among some of the best draft prospects, the best 17, 18-year-old kids that you've seen over the years?
Well, it's a great question because, you know, I've had this question posed to me a number of times, like, you know, the generational talent type of comments. Is he really a generational talent? Well, I think there's no question he's a generational talent. Just what he has done from when we first knew of him and he busted onto the scene, watching him in the COVID year when our scouting was different, we don't usually, you know, scout the world junior 18s because our list is already out. The teams are all there, of course, but in his year as I believe a 15 turning 16 year old, we happened to still be scouting, and I had the pleasure of watching that tournament and just saw this young man be clearly the best player in the tournament. Saw him take a backhand shot from high in the slot, top shelf, probably the best backhand I've ever seen. Like, and obviously you guys know we see hundreds and hundreds of games every year, and I've been doing this for who knows how long now. So I've just thousands of games. So when a player does things and it stands out differently than you normally see, you know, you're seeing something special. And early when I started with Central Scouting, I believe it was my second year, with Sidney Crosby's year. I used to say to people, they used to ask me about Sidney Crosby. Is he really that good? And I said, if you put people in a rink and you split it in half and half of them never seen a hockey game ever in their lives, and the other half saw hockey all their lives, they would both say Sidney Crosby's the best player in this game. And you can definitely say that about Connor Bedard. He's always the best player in the game. And Peter Sullivan, who you guys know and love like me, one of the best scouts I've ever worked with, you know, just raving about this player. He's played at the highest level. He's scouted at the highest level. And he says he's never seen anything like this. And he scores, you know, you could be at a game. I was at one game watching him and he had 5 points and there was still 6 minutes left in the first period. And you're like, what are we watching here? And then Peter would say to you, I saw him last night and he didn't have any points until the third period and he was still the best player. So it's one of those things where it's really, really special. And, you know, it's hard to say, is he the best when you have somebody like Connor McDavid that you scouted too? And I remember people asking me about Connor McDavid and in his draft year, and I would say to people, is he definitely number one? Because you had Jack Eichel in the draft. And, you know, I would say back then that if I was starting a team right now and I could take anybody in the world, and that concludes all the NHLers, I think I'd take Connor McDavid. So I'm almost at the point where I might say that I think I might take Connor Bedard. That's how good this young man is. And it's going to be really exciting to see what happens. The Chicago Blackhawks are a very lucky franchise for how the ping pong balls fell for them. But this is a generational talent for sure. And someone that I'm glad is in our game because it's going to keep us excited about what's happening for the future of hockey.
Well, that's interesting, David, because when I asked you that question about a month ago, when I was at the final meetings, you were kind of torn. I remember you being torn about Sid, you know, McDavid, Bedard, the generational guys you've seen, you've watched, how difficult it is to maybe choose one over the other. But I find that interesting that, you know, if you were creating or performing a team right now, that Bedard would be there. And I look, you know, Adam and I have discussed ad nauseum about Bedard and what this kid has been able to do. And it's not just what you guys with the scouts see on the ice. I mean, I've spoken to Bedard several times, spoken to the family, as has Adam. And there's just something different about the kid off the ice and what, you know, the kind of aura he has about him, his presence about him, you know, the way he talks, the way he speaks. This is going to be a fantastic player in the NHL. And if Chicago does keep the pick and they select Bedard, they're getting someone that's going to turn their franchise around, no doubt.
Yeah, you can't deny it because you know, you're revealing the secrets in from our room, Mike. Jeez, you can't. Now you're making me look like I'm flip flopping, but just kidding. But just, you know, since that happened, even what he's done since we talked about him at our final meeting and what he did in the playoffs, almost 3 points a game, like the literally almost taking his team past the Saskatoon Blades. You know, just. I think he had 20 points in the 7-game series, took them right to the final game. So every environment, when it seems like, and obviously what he did in World Junior is legendary. You know, when the games mean the most, he performs at his highest level. And that's just a tremendous level. So, you know, obviously when you know, you're the first overall pick, the team that's picking you, in this case, Chicago, is a team that is rebuilding and has a long way to go to be a playoff contender. But once, you know, like you say, you know, you mentioned that if they keep the pick, well, they're keeping the pick. Once he joins their team and how they build around him, it's going to be really fun to watch. You know, just like I said, it's just great that we have a player like this that's coming to the NHL, and it's going to be great for the game.
Well, David, always great when we're able to catch up with you prior to the combine. Thanks so much for the insight on this year's combine and information on the top OHL prospects. Adam and I will see you at the combine. Safe travels, and thank you for joining NHL Draft Class.
Thanks very much, guys. Really appreciate it. And like I say every year, I really appreciate how much you support Central Scouting and you let the world know the work that our great scouts do. And they work hard, and you guys really represent us well. So it's much appreciated.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure, David. Thank you so much.
And we'll make sure Mike keeps what stays in the room in the room.
All right. We're going to have a private talk after. Don't worry.
Mike, that was great stuff from Dave Gregory joining us on NHL Draft Class. I think what really stands out, and we sort of talk about this every year, is how the combine has grown. I mean, I go back to 2008 when it was in that little hotel ballroom at the Westin behind Pearson Airport in Toronto, when there were about 6 or 7 media people there for the whole Steven Stamkos, Drew Doughty experience. And you know, I remember Stamkos, we all knew was going to be number one. His scrum was, I think, 4 people, me being one of them. So there really wasn't that sort of attention placed on the combine. And then you see it now. I mean, you go back last year to Yuri Slavkovsky when he did his, you know, availability at the combine. It was what, 40, 50 people, cameras, and the way it's grown to encompass all of Buffalo, Harbor Center, KeyBank Arena, you know, every little bit of it. It's explosive how it's grown in the last 15 years.
You know, as you're talking there, Ed, I just have to laugh because there was something about that Toronto hotel, right? It's like,
oh, the elevators up and down, and then, all day.
And I remember going up the steps, like saying, to heck with the elevators. It's taking too long. I'll go into the exit, you know, hallway and go up the steps, 12 flights, 13 flights. It'll be much quicker. And what was coming to my mind as you were talking was, I remember getting on like the 6th or 7th floor. I get out of the stairwell and there's Andrei Vasilevskiy standing there waiting for the elevator. So I chatted with Vasilevskiy. He was just one-on-one for like 5 minutes. Didn't speak, you know, his English was okay. He was able to get by, but it's just memories like that, that you have that kind of, you know, you reflect back and you say, wow, you know, that was pretty cool. But one of the people, and, you know, both of us know what EJ McGuire meant to NHL Central Scouting for so many years. He's still very much, you know, in the minds and hearts of everyone when the combine does take place. He served as a director of Central Scouting for 7 years. We lost him to cancer in 2011. But, you know, EJ, you know, he was the architect of many of the innovative things you see Central Scouting, you know, doing today, the past decade, to achieve that mandate of providing the most comprehensive list of draft eligible prospects each season. And the combine is a major part of that process. I remember Jim Gregory speaking at the combine, the late Jim Gregory speaking at the combine that year and talking about EJ, what he meant and what he gave to the league, his accomplishments, his friendship. You know, it's just stuff that really sticks in your mind. And, you know, EJ is a guy that for us, Adam, he allowed us to sit in on those, the first, you know, director to allow us to sit in on those meetings from the very start, because he wanted a media presence, an NHL.com presence there. And it has benefited everyone, you know, from what I see. And you know, obviously the scouts love us there.
Well, here's how you know what EJ meant to people. You look at the laundry list of awards the NHL gives out every year. There's not very many that are named for contemporary people. There's the EJ McGuire Award every year now for the last, I believe, 6-7 years, Mike.
Yep.
There, you know, all these awards are named for people from the 1920s, 1930s, and then you've got EJ, who we all know and we all love. And, you know, they don't name awards for people just on happenstance. EJ is as beloved a person as I've come across, you know, in my 15 years working for the NHL, 15 plus years working for the NHL. And you're right, he did get it. He understood what the draft meant and what it could mean. And he wanted bigger. He always wanted better. And I remember they always had this office somewhere in the lower levels of the hotel, but you would never find EJ in it. You'd always find him at this baby grand piano in the middle of the lobby with all his paperwork and his briefcase spread all over, holding court for any person, prospect, scout, team official, media person who needed him. You would just find EJ just kind of camped out at that piano, just waiting to meet people and just promote everything about the prospects, the players, the combine, the draft, all of it. He was the best. And you're right, he is very much missed. And you can see the growth of the combine where it is now. EJ laid those footprints, laid that foundation that Dan Marr and Dave Gregory and his and that staff has done to grow it to where it is now. And you heard David talk about an app that allows them to know where everybody is. And you have every team very comfortable. Nobody's camping out in a hotel suite anymore. Nobody's riding elevators. Everything's so much more organized, so much smoother now. And a lot of that is because EJ built that infrastructure to allow it to grow. And then Dan Marr and his group has sort of built on it and made it become this must see, can't miss experience that we're going to get to go through again starting next week.
In the years past, a big deal was made over the fact that, you know, players such as Sam Bennett and Casey Mittelstadt couldn't complete a single chin-up at the combine.
Or the bench press, yeah.
But let's think about this. Bennett has already played 9 full NHL seasons and has reached the Stanley Cup final with the Florida Panthers. And Mittelstadt just finished his 5th season with Buffalo and had career highs in goals, assists, and points. So I don't – this can't do a chin-up, can't do a pull-up, maybe can't do one bench press. It doesn't matter, Adam. Once you're on the ice, take in the information, do what you need to do to be successful, and these guys have proven that.
Well, we always learn something coming out of combine. We always learn something along the lines, you know, about a player, about a team. I remember last year when we had Lane Hutson, you know, I did a story on Lane Hutson. He talked about, you know, everyone questioned his size. Everyone questioned, could he be big enough, strong enough to maybe play in the NHL? And we saw what he did this season in college, where he dominated college hockey as a defenseman. Well, he told us he went to an endocrinologist before the combine who told him your bone age is younger than your chronological age. So there's a chance you could hit a growth spurt late. So you know, we didn't know that going in, that he had the forethought to go out, get that, and be able to give that to NHL teams. And did it affect where he got taken? I mean, Montreal got him high up in the second round. You know, would he have gone maybe third round because teams had concerns about, you know, he's not, you know, big right now. He's on the thin side, but just watch what he did this season in college hockey. Watch what he did this season, you know, everywhere he played, he was a dominant presence. And now, you know, he could get bigger and he could get stronger. That's the kind of thing, excuse me, that we learned at the combine. And that's the kind of thing that we're going to learn about somebody or a couple of somebodies when we get up to Buffalo, because if you stay tuned to NHL Draft Class, you're going to hear us talk to some of the top players, some of the top scouts, some of the top decision makers from NHL teams. So definitely stay tuned to NHL Draft Class, free to subscribe, free to download. You're not going to want to miss what we get coming out of the combine.
Yeah, and real quick, Adam, just to maybe touch on, you know, what David was talking about, some of these OHL players, that the forwards that he mentioned, that the three forwards that are together are Barlow, Richie, Musty. You know, Richie to me, who is number 13 on the list, you know, 59 points in 59 games. He's that NHL skater, excellent offensive tools, as David was discussing, and he can finish those scoring chances. And when he wasn't in the lineup for Oshawa, they struggled. So I talked to, you know, Coach Laxdal over in Oshawa a couple weeks ago, and he was telling me how much, you know, Callum has improved in his 200-foot overall game. He plays center. He expects him to maybe play center at the NHL level once he does reach there, but he's got that size. He's a right-handed shot. He goes about 6'2", 185 pounds. So to me, I like what Cal has been able to do this year, and he's in a good spot on Central Scouting's list there. But I know you like Colby Barlow and what you were able to see this year, you know, obviously, you know, through video and top prospects as well.
Yeah, he's got a good head on his shoulders, right? We talked to him at Top Prospects game, and you get to meet him and you realize he's a really impressive kid. And then you look at, he's 17 years old and he's the captain in Owen Sound. So all that off-ice stuff, you know what you're getting out of him. So that's impressive right there. Then you watch him when he puts the skates on, and the two words that come to mind when I watch Colby Barlow are volume scorer. Like, he looks like a guy who has no problem filling up the net. He will shoot it every chance he gets. He's got the great shot. He's a good skater, you know, great head for the game, willing to go to the hard areas, battle for the puck. At 6 foot and 195 pounds. He's got good size, you know, smart player, real good shot, as I said. Yeah, there's a lot to like about this kid. You know, a little reminiscent maybe of a Brock Besser type, where he can kind of, when he gets on a hot streak, when he gets on a heater, he has the ability to really fill the net. And, you know, then you add in, as I talked about earlier, the off-ice stuff, 17 years old, he's a captain in Owen Sound. That doesn't happen very often. I spoke to his coach. They said there was really, coming out of his 16-year-old season, they kind of realized there's no other candidate. And his teammates spoke up for him. So it wasn't just from the coaching staff. His teammates said, this is our guy. He's our leader. And, you know, it's been really impressive to watch. So, you know, he's a guy. I don't know where he's going to go in the first round because there are so many outstanding forwards. But if you're picking somewhere between, let's say, 10 and 25, if Colby Barlow's there, I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of hesitation to say, that's our guy. And you let him kind of marinate a little bit, another season in Ontario League, let him get a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger. He looks like he's going to be a really good player.
Some great stuff there from David Gregory on the Ontario Hockey League players. If you wanted to look back, we got some great evergreen episodes. NHL Draft Class, JF Danfou spoke of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League top players. We had Pat Cullen on to talk about a lot of the U.S. Area players from the United States Hockey League and the National Team Development Program. We had Al Jensen on Draft Class to discuss the goaltenders for this year's draft, and there are plenty of them, so you might want to take a listen to that. But Adam, to commemorate the 60th anniversary of the NHL draft on June 28, 29, NHL.com is revealing this series 60 Diamonds, the greatest picks of the 60 NHL drafts, and you got the ball rolling on this project, so maybe you can tell the fans what it's all about and where it can be found.
Yeah, it's neat that this is the 60th anniversary of the first draft in 1963. So we kind of came up with the idea, who are the 60 greatest draft picks of all time? And that's where the 60 Diamonds project kind of came from. We're unveiling the list 10 players at a time on NHL.com. You can check out numbers 60 to 51 right now on the website. Check back every Sunday for another 10 players coming off the list. This Sunday, it'll be numbers 50 to 41. And not to give anything away, but part of that list has a very close tie-in to the host of the 2023 NHL Draft. So you can check out every Sunday on NHL.com as we reveal 10 more players at a time, culminating with the unveiling of the top 20 draft picks of all time, as voted by NHL.com writers and editors on Saturday, June 24th at 7 p.m. Eastern on NHL Network, as well as NHL.com. And Mike, it's a lot of fun. You were part of the voting group. Very simple question, but very difficult one to answer. Who are the best 60 draft picks of all time? You had some fun with it, right?
Yeah, it was a fun project to do. And basically, I looked at it to make, long story short, I just looked at it as, you know, those late round flyers, guys that were picked maybe second, third, you know, even later, that turned out to be NHL gems. And there are quite a few of them, Adam. There are quite a few.
Well, you'll be able to watch that on NHL.com every Sunday. And who knows, maybe if we do this for the 70th anniversary, some of the guys picked in 2023 will be part of the 70 Diamonds. We'll maybe have a different name at that point, but
yeah,
we'll get to that when we get there. But as for now, as Mike talked about, listen into the previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. There's a lot of great stuff to talk about, to listen to. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.